Okay, we're going to go through some scriptures here first. First, we'll lay a foundation. In Deuteronomy 28, probably we'll start at 12. It says, The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do. That was in Deuteronomy, and that was a promise left to those people. We have those promises as well. The Bible says we have greater promises now. We have a greater covenant with God because we have his Spirit. We also have Jesus Christ standing before the throne of God on our behalf. So we have a greater outcome. And it says here, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So owe no man anything. You know, having great debt is a curse. That's what the Bible says. So if you're living in the Western world and you've got great mortgages and you've got a couple of houses and maybe a couple of cars, maybe you haven't got that. Maybe you've overextended your ability to repay your mortgages, then you have, through your greediness, pull yourself into debt. And you know, some families, the wife has to work and put the children into daycare so that they can pay off their mortgage or pay off their debts because they've lived beyond their means. Living beyond your means is greedy. That's just the fact. Living beyond your means is greedy. Now, some people calculate, yes, I'll take out this loan and I can pay this, and that's quite good. Then all of a sudden they fall into hard times and situations happen and they lose their job. You know, that's just life. But people who purposely go out and keep amounting debt after debt after debt, knowing that it's fairly impossible for them to repay, are greedy. And they fall into lots of hurtful things. So, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, all the commandments which I have thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land with which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Okay, so now, and then it says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's his will, right? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, which we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. According to his will. So, you know, if we ask according to his will. So what is his will? Well, his will is that you prosper. His will is that you are in health. But his will is not that you extend yourself to the point where you have to go outside the bounds of the family to meet your needs. Okay, that's just living above your needs. So let's talk about this grace that Paul spoke about to the church, okay, in Corinth, the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. And he's talking about this grace that the church of Macedonia, which was Philippians at Philippi, and they were the poorest church, but they supplied finances to Paul so that he could go and minister unto people and preach the gospel of grace unto the Gentiles. They were the poorest of all the churches, but they were the best givers. Why? Because Paul taught them this grace. So all of the other churches who were just doing it by their own means, they might have been helping Paul out. But the church at Philippi, they were the best givers because they understood about this grace. Okay, so God has already supplied this free unmerited favor. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." So what does that mean? Well, there's a transfer. He took our sins, okay? He was whipped so that we would be healed, okay? He took our sins so that we would be righteous. He took out the chastisement, our chastisement upon him so that we would have peace, right? And he was poor. He stepped out of being the second member of the Godhead, the Word of God, which dropped from the beginning, right? He stepped out of that and he disrobed himself and stepped into mankind, became poor, right? He stepped down and he went to the cross and won all of those things for us, the freedom, then stepped back into his deity and is the right hand of God. And now he has received a great inheritance from God. And of his inheritance have we received as well. Of his fullness have we received. You know, and so we can access this grace, right? And it's really easy to do. It's not a hard thing to do. It's really simple. I'll give you the mechanism and then we can overlap that through the scriptures, okay? I'll give you the end so that, you can know it now and then you can superimpose it through the scriptures and that way I haven't got to teach you over and over again. This is how it works, okay? Paul was telling the Corinthian church that this grace, which he taught to the church at Philippi, who prospered financially and was able to look after his ministry, he's come to the church, Corinthians, and he said to them, "Listen, you've made a pledge of money to go to Jerusalem to help them. I'm going to show you how to make this pledge work through this grace." He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 about this grace. And he goes through the law of sowing and reaping, right? And he says, and he gives him the parameters. He says, chapter 8, verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not." So if there's a willing mind to give, it's acceptable to what he has, not what he doesn't have. So God doesn't want you pledging something you don't have, okay? So what God wants to do, I'm talking about you don't have in your hand. So God wants to provide you the seed for the sower. Because the Bible talks about, it says in chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiplieth your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness." So, look, God supplies the seed for the sower. So it's not according to what you have, it's what according to God, what God will give you, seed for the sower. So let's just say you've got $100, okay? That's your wage, okay? You're a very poor person. All the rest of your brothers and sisters, they get $1,000 a week. They're just lucky. But you're poor and you get $100, okay? So God wants you to live within your $100 mean. He doesn't want you to live outside of your means. That is bringing you into debt and into poverty, okay? So what you do is you say to God, "God, I want to give to the saints who are in need, but I want you to direct my giving through the Holy Spirit. I don't want to give through emotionalism. I don't want to give because I see the poor little African children on TV starving with big eyes and big stomachs, and someone tells me to give money to help them. I know that that administration is of the world, and you know, quite frankly, I know about those administrations, and about 80% of all the money you give gets gobbled up in administrational fees. So I don't give to anybody or into anything unless God directs me. I am led by the Spirit, and I walk according to His will and purpose. And I'm not pressured by giving to anybody, because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And I don't get into emotionalism and all of these things. So you get $100 and you say to the Lord, I want to give money to the saints, but I've got $100. So you go to the Lord and you just say, Lord, I'd like to give $20 to other people, but I haven't got $20. I've only got $100, and you've asked me to live within that means. So Lord, would you provide money for me so that I can get $20 and go and help someone else? So you go off and you pray about it, and you say, God, give me the seed, right, so that I can sow into other people's lives. He provides seed for the sower. He provides. That's God, not you. Not through your, not for your manipulation or ideas or super wise thingos. God provides it. Okay? So let's just say you got your $100 and you go out shopping, you pay all your bills, and you got $80 to go and get food, and you go down to the shopping center, and you're going to buy $80 worth of food. And you go to buy your $80 worth of food, and you're not looking for bargains, as in you're not going after the cheap stuff. You're just buying what you need from your $80. You know that this amount of food costs $80. Okay? It's this type of food, these brands. So you're not trying to go out on the cheap. You're not looking for inferior products. You want what you want for your $80. You want exactly what you want. So you go out and you find that there are specials within those products that you want to buy. And we'll say you might save yourself $20. Well, God has provided that $20. He's provided, the Bible says that it's God that gives you the ability to get wealth. Okay, in every way. If you're a little African guy and you're running through the bush with a spear, God will give you the ability to get wealth. He'll bring more animals to you so that you can spear them and have more to eat. Maybe you can sell them or trade them or whatever. Okay, but in the West, it's finances. Now, God gives us the ability to prosper or to get wealth. Okay, so You get your $80, you go shopping, and you find that you saved $20. Not because you tried to make things stretch, but you went to buy the products that would cost you $80, but you happened to be in the right place at the right time, and they were having specials on those particular products. So you've got $20. God has given you the seed. So you go out maybe, and you're going to buy a pair of jeans, and they're $150. And you go to the shop, and there are specific pair of jeans you're going to buy. You're not looking for a cheap $10, $20 pair of jeans to get at Kmart or something, but you are after these $150 jeans. These are the ones you want, right? You go there and you find that they're on sale, the half price. You get them for $75. You've saved $75. That $75 can be part of your seed, okay? So what Paul was saying to the Corinthians is, if you do this, right, God will provide your pledge, okay, and you won't. It won't have to come out of your pocket. God will provide the seed for the sower, okay. So if you're going to sow into our ministry, right, you would do the same thing. Now, if you're in a church and you had a building fund, we're saying the church has extended themselves too far and they've got maybe a $200,000 mortgage, and they're having a hard time servicing that mortgage, and they've got 100 people in their church. Now, if they understood the law of sowing and reaping and understood these scriptures properly, and they weren't trying to twist people's arms and trying to make them feel bad and all this stuff and talking about we've got a crisis here, right? But they said to everybody, listen, we need to get out of debt, but we need you to use the grace of God. So what would a pastor do in that particular situation? Well, he'd say to his, say to the 100 people in the church, look, you make a pledge according to what you think that God would provide for you according to your faith. And you might, some might pledge $50, some might pledge $200, someone might pledge $2,000. And then the pastor will say to them, he'll pray over them and get them to pray over the situation. And God will provide the $2,000. It won't come out of their normal way of living. That $2,000 pledge, or that $50 or that $100 or that $1,000 pledge will come out of the seed that is provided by God. So they would do the same thing. A person who's maybe a plumber, he's you know, doing his plumbing stuff, and he buys a whole lot of plumbing gear, and he gets a special, and he saves you know, $400, and he puts that $400 aside. You know, a guy who's a carpenter, he gets a whole lot of specials. He goes to his special, you know, store where he buys all his gear, and he knows he's not trying to buy inferior gear. He knows he needs to buy this type of gear, and he just happens to be always at the right place at the right time when they're just having specials or they've had a half price sale and all of that. And he gets the stuff, and he saved $300, $400, $500. A lady who's going out shopping, right, who buys maybe makeup and dresses, and she sees a dress and she wants to buy that dress, and she goes to buy the dress, and they say, do you know what? You're just so lucky. You're in the right place at the right time. 5 minutes ago, we just dropped all of this line down. We take 30% off. So they have saved 30%. And that money, they put it aside, and it slowly builds up, and they reach their $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 target. And then they give that seed to the church to pay the debt off. And it's cost them nothing, right? Because if you're going to go and buy a $150 pair of jeans and you're going to pay for it, and then all of a sudden you go there and there's maybe a $50 reduction, you haven't lost anything. You're still going to pay $150, right? Okay, you're still going to pay for those jeans. God provided the seed for the sower. Okay, so, you know, what we do is we eat our seed. We're just so foolish. We eat our seed. What we do is we get a $150 pair of jeans. We get them for $100. And then we get our $50. And instead of sowing that into somebody else's life, we go and buy something else, right? And then we get a bargain on that. And then we go and buy something else. And all we're doing is just heaping up riches. We're just, you know, sowing to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, let him steal no more, right? But work with his hands that he may give to those in need. Okay? So the reason that you work is so that you can make a living, honest living, and that you can also, through your overflow, you can help other people. So you never live above your means. Now, this is what would happen if you had $100. That's all you got as far as your wages. Somebody else, everybody else around you, they're getting $1,000 a week because they're just lucky. But you've come to the Lord. You've been in the Lord maybe 3 or 4 years. No one's really taught you about how to prosper in the Lord. And you didn't have a very good education. Maybe you were a drug dealer when you came. Maybe you're, you know, a real dropkick, whatever. And you just didn't have the life skills. So you've got $100 a week and you're trying to eke out a living for your wife and your children, and you're very, very, very poor, right? You can sow yourself out of poverty, and that you can be so abundant that you can give unto others, okay? This is how you do it. You get your $100, right? And you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to increase, I need to increase so that I can give unto others. So you go out and you do your $100, okay, and you do your shopping and you might save $30. So you get your $30, you put it aside, that seed. And you wait for God to tell you who to give that to, and you give it to them when the Lord tells you, and he will increase your seed 30, 60, or 100 fold. Okay? And then, and you'll find that all of a sudden, money will start coming to you. You'll find that maybe your boss will come to you and say, do you know what? We're going to raise your wages by $200. So you're going to get $300. So then you go out and you live within your $300 mean. And you ask God to give you seed for the sower. So then you go out and you buy your jeans and you buy your whatever else and everything. You don't have to run around looking for bargains. You don't have to scour the shopping industry for bargains so that you can provide seed for the sower. If you want to do that, go for it. But you know what? If you're prayed up and you're seeking God and you're hearing him, God will provide the seed for the sower. He will put it in your path. You won't have to chase it so much. You'll go out shopping and you'll say, you know, if you need to go out and buy a cutlery set, okay? You go out and you want good quality cutlery. You don't want to get cheap stuff. So if you want to buy cheap stuff, go for it. But if you want to buy good quality, right, and not trying to skimp on quality, you just go to buy your quality, what you can afford, and you'll find that God will put you in front of bargains where the quality that you wanted to buy was on special, and that money is seed for the sower. And it's cost you nothing, but God has increased. And because you've kept that money and haven't sown it to your own lusts and your own desires, and that you've kept it so that it's overflow. So you've kept it so that you can help other people. So that is your overflow. Okay, so you operate from your overflow. Always from your overflow. That's how I minister to people. You know, I don't go out and I don't pray, for 3 hours, 6 hours to get into the glory. I just step into it straight away because I have been praying and I have been filling myself up with God all the time. And I live in a full environment continually, so that when anybody comes to me and says, I need prayer, all I've got to do is start lifting my hands and the presence of God fills the atmosphere within, you know, sometimes 20, 30 seconds. Okay, so Don and I will stand around in a circle, you know, and we'll go, okay, people will ring us up and say, I've got this disease or something, and can you help me? Or my marriage has crashed up and rah, 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 and I heard about you and somebody gave me your phone number, can you help me? And I'll say, okay, no worries, just sit down, hold your hands out, open your heart up, and we're going to pray, and the presence of God's going to fill the room, and you're going to be, and then God's going to do some stuff in your life. And we just stand there for maybe, and we just start praying for maybe 30 seconds, 20 seconds. The presence of God fills the room. I could feel it. And I start saying, okay, we're ready now. And we just start praying over that person. And instantly that person feels the presence of God over them. So we don't have to go away and fast and pray for 3 months because we're operating from our overflow. We're always full, right? And from that fullness, we can call upon God straight away. So we don't have to go and say, well, we've got to get a runoff. We've got to spend a month or a week praying and fasting to get in the presence of God. We're always in the presence of God. We're always full. So that when the juice is coming from the kingdom, when it's coming from heaven, it's overflowing into our glass and running over the sides because the glass is already full. We don't have to go and fill it up and spend a month to fill it up and then minister from that fullness there. Or if we minister from half a glass and end up with half a quarter of a glass, right, then and we end up emptying ourselves, we stay full because it's flowing over the side. And the juice that's flowing over the glass, right, that's the juice that we use to get people healed. And it works. So you can do the same thing with your finances. Live within your means and let God provide the seed for the sower, and it will be your overflow. Okay, now if you can understand that, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, and first maybe go to Philippians okay, chapter 4 and read all of that. And you'll understand that, you know, Paul says to the Philippians, he says a really profound thing. He says in Philippians chapter 4, we'll start at 15, it says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Okay? Now, if you go back, you can keep your finger there if you want to, but if we go to Luke chapter 8, right? We go to Luke chapter 8. This is Luke's version of the sower and the seed. Okay, starting off, but just before that it says, "And it came to pass," Luke chapter 8 verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." This is about Jesus. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities or weaknesses, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils," so she must have been in a bit of a bad shape, "and Jonas, the wife of Cazia, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." So these women followed him around, or with the group, and they were helping, and they were financially secure, and they were supplying Jesus and the 12 disciples. They were supplying their needs because Jesus had ministered to them freedom, and he had ministered to them healing and security, right? And they were able to supply, while Jesus ministered to them spiritual things, they were supplying natural things. And Paul uses the same theory. He says, "When I preach spiritual things to you, it's only natural that you would provide natural things to me, which are lesser than the spiritual." So, you know, and he says here, I'll go again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Okay? And then it says here, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire," now this is a key, "not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account." Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. You don't get apples until you plant a seed. You don't get oranges until you plant an orange seed. Okay, so he said, "Not because I desire a gift or their seed," right? "Or their love gift or their offering," right? "Or the seed that God has provided for them to sow into Paul's life. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account." What Paul was saying is there's a grace that's been operating in the kingdom of God, and I want you to sow yourselves out of poverty. So it's not because I want money from you, but I want to kick in this mechanism that's going to provide for you. So you sowed a seed into my life, and God's going to abound in your life fruit, right? And they were financially, they got out of financial problems. So, you know, you can sow yourself out of finances. You know, the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. It says that, some that say godliness is great gain, from such turn away. You know, having money doesn't make you godly. The Bible says that they also make merchandise of you. So people are fleecing other people using these scriptures to feather their own nest. They're using these scriptures to so they can buy an extra Learjet, or that they can live in opulence. And we know about them. We won't name them all. We see them on TV. Gold covered chairs and all sorts of weird stuff. Okay? So, you know, all I can say is that you should be living within your means. If you're a minister, you should be going out and fleecing other people. You shouldn't be living in opulence. You should use that to further the gospel. That's where a good steward comes in. So Paul was a good steward of the mysteries of Jesus, right? And what Paul did is he went into one town, he preached the gospel, he got them financially secure, and then when they were financially secure, he taught them this grace, and from their overflow they ministered unto Paul. And he was able to be financed to go into the next town, preach the gospel free of charge, and receive these people's souls, and then teach them, and then move into the next town. Instead, you know what? What modern churches do is they go in and they say, "Give us money first, and then we will, you know, then we'll get you all filled with the Holy Spirit, if so, or just give you out to Jesus, a heap of rubbish." So, you know, what we're actually doing is we've actually asked nobody for no money at all. But the Lord told me he's spoken to me and shown me that it's time for the saints to learn, because we're entering into now a time where finances, where our financial institutions are going to fall over. And if you don't understand the law of sowing and reaping, and you don't understand how to make it work, you're going to be in want, you know. And if you understand how this works, I stepped out of a bus with $7 or $8. And within a week, I had thousands of dollars in my bank account, okay, because I actually got the money that I was given. Part of it, I sowed it. And then I was given money, and part of it, I sowed it. And I didn't just sow it anywhere. I said, "Lord, who do you want me to give it to?" And as I sowed it, more money came in. And as I sowed part of that seed, more money came in. And as I sowed that seed, more money came in. And we became financially secure in that way, or okay, you know. And from that time, from the Bundaberg floods nearly 3 years ago, we haven't wanted for anything at all. All we do is we just say, "Lord, we need some money now," and within days, or even within, you know, it's been as in within minutes, then we go to our bank and the money's there. But now the Lord said that he wants you guys to get in on it, to understand, to maybe partner with us, so that we can go forward into this thing. We're moving into a new phase of ministry. Okay, so he wants you, well, I want you to partner with me. Okay, you go and seek the Lord. You see, "Lord, should we partner with Tom and Donna? Okay, can we make a pledge, and can we say to them, 'Look, we're going to supply, we're going to help you, we're going to help you in your ministry, and we're going to maybe pledge $100 a month or $50 a week, but we're not going to be able to give it to you unless God provides it for us as seed for the sower,'" right? And that way God shows you that he's in on the ministry as well, that he's working with you as well as he's working with me. And from that seed sowing into our ministry, you'll get a 30, 60, or 100 fold. And you'll find that finances will get more and more, and you'll be able to help more and more people, or you'll be able to, or you'll get out of debt. You know, you can sow yourself out of poverty. If you have a mortgage, and you've got your wife working, and your kids are in daycare, and you're pressed beyond measure and you don't know which way to go, and you can sow yourself out of poverty. And I'm going to show you something in this next talk about the year of Jubilee. Now, that's coming up in mid-September. It's when all the captives are set free, when all debts are set free. It's called the great falling. So if you're a slave and you've been a slave for 10 years, then it's time for you to be set free. If you're a person who has 1,000 slaves, then it's time for you to lose all your 1,000 slaves, and there's a great falling in that way. Your finance or your ability to generate wealth because you've got slaves will be diminished. You know, if you're a financial institution and you're squeezing the life out of people, out of the saints, it's time for you to let go and to lose your footing on in the control of their life. If you're a saint that's under a massive amount of debt because of the situation, if you position yourself in the right place, it's time for massive debt reduction. There will be debt cancellation. You will see this happen in starting from September, the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. Over that whole year, you will see massive debt reduction. If you position yourself in the right place and you understand, and you don't keep heaping to yourself and generating debt, then God won't, I don't know whether God will look after you in that way, but if you position yourself ready to be set free, then you'll be blessed mightily. We'll talk about that in this next talk, okay? So we'll leave it there.